folks. This is Pastor Mike Huggard coming to you from Watchman Studios with another Watchman video broadcast. Part 2, Looking into Familiar Spirits. God showed me something this week from this book. I often say that. God showed me this, God showed me that. I say that, number one, because that's truly how it happens. Number two, I say that to give credit to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, and not take any credit for myself. I'm just the mailman, the messenger, the big mouth that sometimes didn't know how to shut up. I give the credit and the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's always verified or through His Word. The Bible says, test the spirits. We're dealing with familiar spirits. So I've had moments when I felt God was speaking to me. I don't hear the audible voice. I don't hear the, you know, the Charlton Heston voice with the echo, and I don't hear that. It's just a still small voice in my heart, in my soul. That's one thing. And some are going, he hears voices. Okay? Now, I listen to one. But the Bible said, test the spirits. And so when I think that God is showing me something, or when I think the Holy Spirit is trying to draw me to the Scriptures, or most of the time, the Holy Spirit, He'll quote Scripture. And that's what He did this week. But you always go to the Word of God to verify. Here is final authority. Here's what I know for a fact God said. And I don't question it, and I don't doubt it. Sometimes what I hear up here, what goes on up here, I don't trust it. I don't know whether it came from God or whether there's some kind of deception trying to creep into my mind. That's why we test the spirits. And this is the same now with familiar spirits is what we're dealing with. Let's read our text and we're going to get right into it. We talked about this last week and we showed about how all these rock and roll stars and all these movie stars, that was just a sample of the number of stage actors, stage musicians, the big name people that are making millions of dollars and drugs and alcohol and sex everywhere. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on. But it kind of gives you a sample. We left off with that last week and we're going to plow through because it's not, you think, yeah, I don't listen to that rock and roll stuff. This is going to get closer to home than you probably think or want. So let's read the scriptures and understand where we're going. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And I was just going over this before I turned the camera on. I'm looking. The next chapter is, of course, chapter 34. And it starts out with Josiah. Now, I like that. Because even after what Manasseh did, Manasseh's son, Josiah, was altogether different. God raised up a boy who loved the Lord and decided, while I'm king, we're going to do things right. And God blessed him, and God actually restored to him the Word of God that had been lost in the temple. Isn't that neat? It was in the temple all along. Anyway, Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Remember that. The heathen are the giants and those races that were in Canaan land. The seven nations, stronger and mightier than thou, God said in Deuteronomy 7. They were practicing this stuff, and Manasseh went and revived it. There is a revival right now of these same religious practices. For he built again the high places, which Hezekiah's father had broken down, and reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, where the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 13 things that he does here. We're looking at familiar spirits. I'm going to put witchcraft and wizardry. I think I'm going to put them together. Okay, maybe not. We'll see. Then number 14, this is what he did. This completed the pie right here. This is it. He set a carved image, the out of which he had made. Think Revelation 13. They're going to build an image to the beast. The false prophet is going to be able to give it life so that it could speak and cause as many as would not worship him to have to be killed, have their heads cut off. So he said, a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. And here's Manasseh sticking a false god, a stone god, carved image, a man-made god, in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians, I think, has everything to do with this. This is a foreshadowing of things to come. And this number pattern here, 13 and then 14, the capstone, back of the $1 bill, we see it there, the 13 rows of stones. We're getting ever closer to the day when we're going to put that image inside the temple of God. And the familiar spirits are working overtime right now. So we left off last week with, I read 1 Samuel 28, and I'm going to pick up there. Because what we see is, and I've got some extra helpers over here. I've only got one over here, I only need one. But I've got some extra helpers over here. Because what we see is that when you are going to, when you walk away and abandon this or diminish it, something has to replace it. So you might get Mormons and you say, well, I believe the King James Bible, and they'll go, we use the King James Bible too. We worship the same God as you. But we have another testament. And here's what's funny. And I'll get into this here in a minute. Here's what's funny. Joe Smith, using what's called seer stones, two rocks he had in front of his eyes, being able to decipher golden plates written in a character and a language that nobody knew, translated the entire Book of Mormon by himself. Mormon doctrine says the Book of Mormon is right in everything that it says. No mistakes are in it whatsoever. But the King James Bible, insomuch as it is translated correctly, is also the Word of God. Now, so here's what they're saying. Joe Smith, with imaginary glasses, looking at a book that nobody else had seen before and has seen since, translated the Book of Mormon all by himself and got it right 100%. 54 translators of the King James Bible working in a circular fashion for 7 years, peer-reviewing one another's work, no private interpretation whatsoever between them, and the Mormon church says, well, they got it wrong. But our guy, he got it right. But here's the point. They diminish the Bible, and they exalt this. It's a replacement religion. They're trying to tell you that this is another testament of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I'm going to do. They got part of it right. Let's omit the word testament and of. Another Jesus Christ. Because that's what it is. This is a replacement Jesus. It's not the same one as in here. It's a different one. 1 Samuel 26 or 28. Here's probably one of the best passages about familiar spirits and how they work, and how they deceive people in the Bible. 1 Samuel 28, 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Now, we read the law last week. The law said, there you should not go after women or anybody that hath a familiar spirit. Do not seek counsel of them. Do not go to them. Do not have one yourself. God said it's an abomination, and I'll take you outside the camp, and they'll stone you with stones if we catch anybody doing it. Saul himself, when his little hypocritical heart was leaning in the direction of God, had outlawed all of the witches and all of those that had a familiar spirit. But here's the thing, and this is very, very important. Saul, God has quit talking to Saul. This is one reason why I do not believe that was Samuel that came up out of the ground. I do not believe it. Because God had already cut off Saul. Saul had already disregarded and what was the Bible word it says? He cut off the word of God. He wouldn't listen to the word of God anymore. He wasn't listening to Samuel when Samuel was alive. And so right here, God said, I'm not going to answer him ever again. I'm not going to answer him by dreams. I'm not going to answer him by Urim. And I'm not going to answer him by the prophets. That's who Samuel was. So to me, it's clear. Saul's going to ask, and God's not going to say a word. So what does Saul do? He goes to his replacement religion, that which he walked away from at one time, that which he outlawed at one time. He's now going back to it. Saul's religion has now changed. Since he won't hear from here, he's going to hear from the familiar spirits. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Remember this, okay? This is another Jesus. That's what this is. Because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the covenant. He is the Word of God. He is the living Word. And He and the written Word always match. So if this is another Jesus, then this really is another testament of Jesus Christ. And it's another spirit. All right? The angel Moron. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So he says, another Jesus. Stop right here. Samuel is a type and a foreshadowing of Jesus. Samuel was the prophet. Jesus was that prophet, capital P, that Moses foretold. The woman at the well knew who it was. This, you're that prophet, aren't you? You're the one we've been looking for. Okay? And Jesus was. Samuel is a foreshadowing of that. He represents the Bible. And so, here is Paul telling us about another Jesus. What Saul saw, was not Samuel. It was another Samuel, a fake one. One familiar enough with Samuel to speak and to look like him, but it was not him. And we know that because God said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore by the prophets. I won't. It was a familiar, it was another Jesus, it was another spirit, and it was another gospel. And Paul said, you won't put up with me, but if a guy comes preaching this other stuff, how many Mormons are in the world? Millions. Millions of Mormons. How many Jehovah's Witnesses in the world? This is Ellen White's great controversy. Millions. Okay? They're so big, they've got their own hospitals and stuff like that. We don't have a hospital. Okay? That's how big they are. Many are following their pernicious ways. They're going after it. And Paul said, you'll listen to these guys, and you won't listen to me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Watch this. But though we or an angel from heaven, this is the verse that the Holy Ghost spoke to me the other night. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So, here is an angel from heaven. Okay, and we're gonna look into this. Because you know the story of Joe Smith, right? You know anything about Ellen White? Other than that she was a real ugly old woman. Okay? You know anything about her? I know a guy. Used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. He writes me every now and then. He says, I am so blessed. I weep when I think of what I used to believe and the cult that I was lulled into. And he said, I'm free from that. And he sent me some information regarding Ellen White and where she got all of her doctrines. Get ready, people, because that was a familiar spirit. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16. We're going to take a little trail here of understanding how these familiar spirits work, how they indoctrinate people, what they talk like. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 16, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Let me stop right here. Okay, this is part of the sealing of the Holy Ghost, that those who truly believe the Word of God and are born again, they're not hypocrites, they truly believe the Word of God, He binds up the testimony and He seals the law among His disciples. Think Bible, think DNA. the book that's in God's right hand is sealed with seven seals. Those are the seals there that are on that book. It's the seven spirits of God. They are one and the same. You cannot separate the two. So here is the book. It's sealed. It's sealed in our hearts. We are His disciples. Just like DNA is a rolled up scroll of a book. And there's only one thing in the whole world that can loose the hydrogen bonds that are in DNA that hold it together and unscroll it and straighten it out and then read it or copy it. All right? And Jesus is that one. He is the only one worthy to open the seals and to unroll the book. All right? So get this idea. Here is the Word of God. It's bound and sealed in the heart of those who truly believe it. But listen to what He says. Verse 17, "And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion." Now verse 19, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Again, if you hear these voices, all right, if you hear a voice in your heart or your soul or whatever it is, and you're not sure whether it's from God or not, if you will go to the Word of God and seek it out and ask God, "God, was this from you? If it is, show it to me in the Word, because that's the only thing I trust." And God said, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. None. So if they speak outside of this word is light. They don't have the Word of God bound and sealed inside of them. They're lost. They're reprobate. They're going to go to hell, and they're going to take a bunch of people with them. Very important to remember. This is how we learn how to test whether a spirit is a familiar one or the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God's Son, Jesus Christ, in us, crying, "Abba, Father." Okay? There's a way to know. Just go inside the Scriptures. But here's what's interesting. The people who follow the familiar spirits, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter." Now, those two words there, had to look them up. Okay, it's pretty complex. The word peep means peep, 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 peep. Okay? Maybe you've heard that in a church. I have. Or mutter. The word mutter is one of those words, I forgot what you called it, but it's one of those words where it's spelled like it's the sound it's trying to make. All right? Like a dog bark. Or a dog woof, okay? Or a wolf howl. Howl! Okay? It's spelled like the sound that it's making. That's the word mutter. Mutter has the idea of a group of people, and you walk into a room, and everybody's talking, and you cannot discern what they're saying, because everybody's talking all at once, and it sounds like a bunch of gibberish. That's what the word mutter is. And he's telling you now how familiar spirits talk. They either peep or they mutter. Either way, you don't speak peep. You don't speak mutter. You don't understand it. You cannot follow what it is they're saying. They are making, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, they're making uncertain sounds. That is direct opposite of, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Okay, the written word of God. Does John 3:16 say, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son"? Yeah, I'm certain of it. I can go right to it and look at it, and it says the same thing every single time. Muttering is based on the incomprehensible sound. Familiar spirits, here we go. Familiar spirits are responsible for speaking in an unknown language. So, oh, here you go again. Let's ask God. Okay? Let's go to the Scripture. Deuteronomy 28, verse 49. God said, "If you will not keep all," A-L-L, which means most of them. No, it doesn't. It means all of them. That's the curse of the Old Testament law. God gave all these commandments and he said, do them. And if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Okay? You've got the sentence of death on you. If you don't do all of these, because these people here, Hebrew roots people, they say we should keep as many of the laws of God as we possibly can in order to really please God. That's a lie. It's a lie. You cannot please God by law keeping, because if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of all. They say there's some 618 laws in the Old Testament law. If you keep 617 of them, you cannot please God. Only Christ can do that. But anyway, God said, if you don't do all these laws, here's what I'm going to do to you. Verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth. We've covered that dealing with this capstone. Go way back to the meaning of the eagle on the back of the $1 bill. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor shew, which means show, favor to the young. Isaiah 33:19, thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Now, in Isaiah 33:19, God is giving them a blessing and a favor by saying, you follow me and keep after my ways, you will not see the fierce nation that doesn't speak in a way that you can understand, that has a stammering tongue, like muttering or peeping, all right? Two places in the Bible, and we're not done. Two places in the Bible where God said a nation, and this is a spiritual nation, this is the fourth kingdom, is who it is, all right? This nation, coming as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Now, you've heard me make comparisons over and over about evil spirits in the Bible, even some good ones, but evil spirits in the Bible and how they have a beast appearance. Think about it. Dragons. Serpents. Think about, let's see here. The Bible mentions dogs, owls, satyrs, things like that. All right? Here's what's interesting. Dogs have a form of a language. It's probably very, very brutish, very limited, very rudimentary. I have a speech you can't understand either. But they have a barking language. Certain barks probably mean certain things to them. The problem is we can't understand what dogs are saying. All right? Birds and their singing. They often have different patterns to it. We can't understand it. The neatest thing that I think mankind, one of the neatest things that mankind ever discovered was putting a microphone down in the ocean and for the first time hearing whales sing to one another, humpback whales, these humongous sea creatures that have this beautiful, beautiful song. And the scientists who studied these things noted certain patterns in it, but they don't know what they're saying. So it could be said that beasts have a language that none of us, no man, has ever been able to decipher. We don't understand what they're saying or what they mean when they say it. So take that, go up to the fourth dimension, go to the spiritual level, and here are beasts, and they speak a tongue, a language, that no one can understand. No one can perceive it. We don't know what it is that they're saying. That is a familiar spirit that, what does he do? Peeps? What is that? That's like a bird sound. Beep, 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 beep. All right? Or Morse code or something like that. But anyway, that's what that is. It's a beast sound and we don't know what it is. A muttering sound that we cannot decipher because we don't speak mutter, and we don't speak peep, and we don't speak dog, and we don't speak familiar spirit. So hang on to that one, all right? So it's a nation of fierce countenance, whose tongue they would not understand. And in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, Daniel's prophesying of the beast in the last days, and it says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, He would be of the nation of fierce countenance and understanding what kind of sentences? Dark sentences. Again, if they go to familiar spirits that peep and mutter, and they do not say what the word says, is because there is no light in them. So their sentences are dark. The beast can speak things that only he understands, but nobody else does. Are you following that? The beast is a familiar spirit. He is a replacement for Jesus Christ. He is the other Samuel that showed up in front of Saul, in front of the witch of Endor. All right? That's who that is. He is a familiar spirit, and he speaks in dark sentences. He speaks in a way, in a tongue that no one can understand. And again, some of you, I already know where he's going with this. Now, I don't like it. I'm just asking you to hear me out. Hear me out in what the Scripture says, okay? Can we do that? Can we speak Scripture and try to get understanding from it, all right? Now, let's go back in history a little bit. Let's go back to a fellow by the name of John Dee, 16th century philosopher, mathematician, astrologer, and an occultist. He, along with the spirit medium Edward Kelly, used what's called scrying to come in contact with angels in order to gain secret wisdom from them in an effort to benefit mankind. These quote-unquote angels dictated large volumes of books to them. Now, catch what's going on here. Here's John Dee, and he is a consulter with familiar spirits. He's a mathematician, he's an astrologer, he's an occultist, and he has seances every now and then. He gets in contact with familiar spirits, but he's not getting anywhere fast. And he wants this advanced knowledge that nobody else has. He wants these revelations. So he hooks up with Edward Kelly. Edward Kelly used scrying. They used what's called a scrying bowl. They would take a sort of metallic shiny bowl, like gold or silver or whatever, and they would fill it with water or sometimes mercury if they had it. And they would stare down into the reflective surface of the water. This is called scrying. In The Lord of the Rings, I think it was the elves who used what was called the Mirror of Galadriel. Some of you who know The Lord of the Rings, you're going, yeah, dude. They were scryings, what they were. They were coming into contact with familiar spirits that were under the water. All right? Any kind of scrying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? I grew up with Romper Room, watching Romper Room every day, all right, when I was little, before I started school. And there was the teacher at Romper Room going, magic mirror, tell me today, did all my friends have fun at play? And then it, you know, made this magical thing on the TV screen, and all of a sudden, you can see right through the mirror. You can see her face. And I never figured out how they did that. I'm going, what, do they just slide the mirror down? Because where does it go? It's too big to go in her hand. Never dawned on me that she had another one in her hand and changed it. I was little, all right? I didn't understand. Now I get it. The Romper Room teacher was scrying in her magic mirror, all right? There's a lot of this stuff going on. Anyway, that's what Edward Kelly was doing. He was good at it. And he was getting in contact with these angels. That's how they identified themselves. Now, were they angels? Yeah. They were. They were not good angels. They were evil angels. They were little g gods. They were devils. They were unclean. They were familiar spirits. And they introduced, what they were doing was they were dictating, they were telling Edward Kelly and John Dee what to write down, and they were writing it down. And including, and I'll get to this in a minute, some books that were written and spoken in a language that John Dee and Edward Kelly had never heard of before. Now, get back to this verse in Galatians chapter 1. Though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. So here we have another illustration where these two men getting into divination, which God forbids, getting into in contact with familiar spirits. Here we have an angel from heaven giving these guys advanced occult secrets for all of mankind. They are delivering to these guys another gospel. They're cursed. The language that they were speaking is called Enochian, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But they, and I don't think they were the first ones to do this, but what the familiar spirits were giving them, they were giving them the words, and John Dee and Edward Kelly was writing these words down. Now, there's a form of that that still exists to this day. It's called automatic writing. Someone, like at a seance or a medium of some kind, with a pen or a pencil or a piece of paper, the spirits are giving them words to say, words to write down, and they are writing them down. We looked at last week, remember when the song Stairway to Heaven was penned? It's like, who was it, Jimmy Page? He's writing it down, and all of a sudden, he goes, ooh, there's a song here. It didn't come from him. It came from a familiar spirit that was causing him to write these words down. Now, think about it. It's the exact opposite of holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. When Isaiah was writing, he was writing the words that God gave him. When Paul was writing, he was writing the words that God gave him to write down. And those words have been preserved for us. So we have like a copy, an exact opposite. We have a familiar, let me pull out one here. We have a familiar spirit posing as a Bible. We have the real Word of God. We have a fake Word of God that did not come from the Holy Spirit. It came from a familiar spirit. So that's what these guys were doing. They were doing a form of automatic writing. It's still done today in various places. There is a book called Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh. Now, Neil Donald Walsh is not a Southern Baptist, General Baptist, Independent Baptist, Free Will Baptist, American Baptist, Missionary Baptist. He's not a Baptist Baptist. He's not, wasn't a Pentecostal. He wasn't a Presbyterian. He may have been, I don't know. But you get my point. Neil Donald Walsh was not a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. But he started having conversations with a spirit that convinced him that it was God. Neil Donald Walsh wrote a book called Conversations with God, an Uncommon Dialogue. And he writes in this book, God is telling him, all of those holy books that all the religions have, what I have to speak to people in the language of love is far better than what all those holy books, they brag that they are the Word of God. And the God that Neil Donald Walsh was talking to was basically telling him, I didn't write any books. That wasn't me. Don't believe your Bible. Believe the language of love that I fill your heart with. You see it? If they speak not according to this word, it is because they have no light in them. This book, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, there's been reprints of it. There's been updated editions. There's been sequels to it. I'm sure there's probably a home game that you can play, Conversations with God. Actually, there is. It's called a Ouija board. But anyway, here's what Neil Donald Walsh says. Within every one of us, there is a voice that speaks the truth. In other words, it's not here. It's here. Now, remember, I believe that the Holy Ghost spoke Scripture to me the other night, late the other night. Okay? I have to test that spirit to see whether it's of God or not. Because I have thought that I heard things from God. I thought they were in the Scripture, and when I went to look for them, I'm going, no, it actually doesn't say it that way. I heard it wrong. Now, they either came out of my mind, or maybe I was trying to be lied to by some spirit. I don't know. But if it doesn't match the Word of God, it has no light, and I refuse to believe it. I don't trust it. I don't trust me. I don't trust these little voices in my head. I only trust this book right here. But Walsh is telling you, you don't have to be Christian. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a whatever you want to. But there is that voice inside of you that speaks the truth. They're trying to get you hooked into a different God. a familiar spirit. Then we have Elise Bailey. My wife says, honey, it's Alice. Whatever. Alice, Elise, tomato, tomato, Bailey. Her autobiography states that at age 15, on June 30th, 1895, Bailey was visited by a stranger, quote, a tall man dressed in European clothes, wearing a turban. Could have been Barack Obama. I don't know. Anyway, who told her she needed to develop self-control to prepare for certain work he planned for her to do. What was that work? She formed what was originally called the Lucifer Publishing Company with her husband. They later named it the Lucis Trust, and it's part of the United Nations. The Lucifer, hang on, I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere in the Word of God. Yes, here it is. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? I will be like the Most High. Lucifer is a familiar spirit. He is pretending to be the Most High God. I will be like the Most High. But he's not. But people will worship him thinking they are worshiping God. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Ezekiel 28, I am God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. He wants to sit on God's throne and make everybody think he's God. He's not. He's a familiar spirit. So was Samuel, brought up from the earth, the depths of the earth, by the witch of Endor. It was not Samuel. God said it wasn't Samuel. It was a lying spirit. Because God said, I'm not talking to Saul anymore. Not by anything. Not by dreams and not by prophets. All right? So anyway, Lucifer Publishing Company. But then it starts looking bad, so we change it to Lucis, which basically means light. All right? That's the Luce part of Lucifer. The other part, Ifer, means a bearer of light. Or, as Paul so aptly put it, an angel of light, which is a messenger or a bringer or carrier of light. They are interchangeable. Lucifer is the right translation. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. All right? Here's the Lucis Trust website. Again, they are part of the United Nations. The Lucis Trust has consultative status with the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and World Goodwill is recognized by the Department of Public Information at the United Nations as a non-governmental organization. So here we, listen to this. Here we have an occult organization formerly known as Lucifer that is based upon the esoteric and occult writings of Elise Bailey and Helena Blavatsky. We'll look at her in a minute. And these writings that Bailey did, she didn't come up with on her own. She admits that they were channeled to her by what we know as a familiar spirit. And this organization, the Lucis Trust, consults the United Nations on what to do. The fix is in, people. The fix is in. The devil is in places of power and authority and consultation. See, that's the word right there. God said, and that's what Manasseh did. He consulted with one that had a familiar spirit. The Lucis Trust was one of the entities partly responsible for what's called the United Nations Meditation Room. No, it's not the bathroom, all right? Although it probably could be. Here is the centerpiece, or the, what would they call it? The meditation piece in the meditation room. I think there's like 12 chairs in there or something like that anyway. But you go in the meditation room, you look at this, and you see this really, really weird... Think about it. If familiar spirits speak a language that no one understands, it would seem to me that they also draw pictures that... I have no idea what that is. When you look at it, you're going, I have no idea what that is. Okay? It's a language nobody can... That's what modern art is. Okay? This is a painting of a woman. Really? I wouldn't marry her if she looked like that. Okay? Anyway, see this big rectangle there in front of it? This big rectangular box that's there? Do you know what that is? That is a 6.5 ton, which is 13,000 pounds. Think about it. It's a gigantic block of iron. The meditation room is a church to the Iron Kingdom in Daniel chapter 2. Lucifer inspired that one. All right? The familiar spirit that Alice Bailey, we'll call her Allie, all right, that Allie Bailey was in contact with was whom she called DK, Master DK, Jwal Kool, is believed by some theosophists, this is from Wikipedia, and others to be a Tibetan disciple in the tradition of ancient esoteric spirituality known as the Ageless Wisdom Tradition. The texts describe him as a member of the spiritual hierarchy or brotherhood of the Mahatmas. One of the, Gandhi was a Mahatma, all right? One of the masters of the ancient wisdom, defined as the spiritual guides of mankind and teachers of ancient cosmological, metaphysical, and esoteric principles that form the origin of all the world's great philosophies, mythologies, and spiritual traditions. In other words, every religion in the world except Bible Christianity. According to the Theosophical writings, Jwal Kool is said to work on furthering the spiritual evolution of our planet. Think making the pyramid higher. All right? Getting to that capstone. The spiritual evolution of our planet through the teachings offered in the 24 books by Allie Bailey of esoteric teachings published by the Lucifer, which is what it is, Trust. He is said to have telepathically transmitted the teachings to Bailey and is thus regarded by her followers as the communications director of the masters of the ancient wisdom. In other words, Papa DK here, Master DK, is the press secretary for Lucifer. He is the communications director. He is the one that speaks to these people and they write whatever the familiar spirit tells them to write. And it's in contradiction to the Word of God. It has no light in it whatsoever. She's not the only one that fell for this. Master DK was also instrumental in channeling a large portion of Blavatsky's work, The Secret Doctrine. What do you think that's all about? It's about bringing in the Antichrist to rule the world, killing all the Christians. Got to get rid of the Christians. They're standing in the way. They're like a stone that needs to be rolled out of the way so we can bring the beast into this world. Now, so you kind of understand the idea. Bailey is sitting there with a pen, paper in her hand, and she's going into some kind of trance or meditation state or whatever, and Papa DK starts speaking. When he speaks, she starts writing. Again, the opposite of holy men of God speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right? So she's writing all of these things down. Automatic writing, using Ouija boards, things like that. Getting in these familiar spirits, they have messages that they want mankind to have. The ascended masters, which are nothing but devils, familiar spirits, there's some that pose even as Jesus Christ. They pose as Buddha. They pose as their will. There's no doubt in my mind. There will be, in fact, I believe that Muhammad Ali, but the Muhammad was writing the Quran from the voice of a familiar spirit named Allah. All right? That's where it came from. In fact, you could probably say that all of the other religions of the world, except Bible Christianity, were given to mankind by what Paul says, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Familiar spirits giving these people things to write down. Now, as with everything else that we've been looking at, in the 13-step pyramid that Manasseh, the 13-step pyramid that is being built right now, the evolution of man bringing in the Antichrist, that capstone, with all of these things, they have already moved into churches, Christian churches, Christian thought, Christian bookstores, Christian TV shows, Christian broadcasting networks, so on and so on. Religious broadcasting, Christian broadcasting in this country is nothing more than the rantings and the ravings and the doctrines of devils given by familiar spirits. Who do you hear on TV that says, I believe nothing but the authorized King James Bible? If you hear it, I've never heard it. You don't hear these guys say, if I'm going to hear from God, I want to hear from His Word and nothing else. I'm not saying there's none, you just don't find too much of it anymore. Now here's something that I knew about, and someone, one of our watchers, sent me this several years ago. And I've been watching this guy and some of the things that he's saying. Sid Roth has got a program. Now Sid Roth, he refers to himself as a Messianic Jew. His goal, and he doesn't apologize for this, his goal is to bring the church, Christianity, back into the Hebrew roots. Because that's where the real secrets are. That's where the real magic is and the power is. That's where all the supernatural stuff happens. And all these other churches that sit there and hear sermons and read their Bible and sing hymns, they're not getting the real stuff from God. So he has on his program, he has some of the awfulest mess on his program I've ever seen. If I need material to work with, all I got to do is go watch Sid Roth. And he's followed by probably millions of people. His show reaching all over the world. YouTube hits like crazy. Everybody's watching Sid Roth. And the problem is most of these people are buying into it. Several years ago, a man by the name of Mark Verkler, this is when it really hit me how thick this was in churches. Not just in charismatic or Pentecostal churches either. It's everywhere. And I didn't have time to put together, and I may still yet deal with contemplative prayer. And there are thousands of church leaders and church pastors and seminar speakers and conference speakers and so on that are constantly hammering away at church people, getting them into contemplative prayer, getting them to hear this God on the inside of them. Well, here's Mark Verkler. Here's his version of it, all right? He goes on Sid Roth and he does a program called How to Hear from God. And what he says is, what you do is you go into a room, light some candles in there, kind of shut out everything, and then you just kind of empty your mind, and you go into a trance, and then you start hearing these things from God. Or you just tell God that you want dreams at night, and when you have dreams, you tell yourself to wake up. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he says you start hearing from God on the inside of you. And God's telling you all of these things that He wants you to do. Now, again, you might hear things every now and then. If you think it's from God, fine. God will quote Scripture. God will show you in the Bible what He said. But here's what Verkler says. He said, I've got four things here that if you do, and he makes the statement, if you do, not one, not two, not three, but all four of these things, God is going to release supernatural power in your life. You're going to have supernatural anointing. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. You're going to be the super Christian. You'll never be defeated ever again if you'll do these four things. Fourth key that he mentions. This is from his website. The fourth key, two-way journaling, or the writing out of your prayers and God's answers, brings great freedom in hearing God's voice. He says, I have found two-way journaling to be a fabulous catalyst. You know what that is? Catalyst is what gets something started on fire. For clearly discerning God's inner spontaneous flow, because as I journal, I am able to write in faith for long periods of time, simply believing it is God. I know that what I believe I have received from God must be tested. However, testing involves doubt, and doubt blocks divine communication, so I do not want to test while I am trying to receive. With journaling, I can receive in faith, knowing that when the flow has ended, I can test and examine it very carefully. That's a setup, people. It's a setup. He's setting people up to pretend that they're hearing this voice on the end. And it goes through all this meditation practice. emptying your mind and getting connected and then get into the flow. And he says that he writes for hours at a time. And what he said is, I know it's got to be tested, but testing involves doubt. That is precisely what God told us to do. Test the Spirit. Trust no little voice that you hear. Trust no spirit until it's verified in what I know is absolutely 100% true. So if a spirit tells me the sky is purple, and I see in the King James Bible that it's blue, then I believe it's blue. If a spirit, and trust me, there are spirits telling people that the earth is flat, and the sun goes around in a circle parallel to the surface of the earth. If I see in the Bible that the sun rises up from the horizon and goes down below the horizon from east to west in his circuit, then that's what I believe, and I don't believe anything beyond that. That's what I believe. But he's telling you, you don't test it while you're writing it. Just keep on writing. Again, here's what he's doing. This is how Ellen, this is how Joe came up with this. They just started writing, and they just automatically assumed that they were hearing God's voice. And you know the truth is, he's making it sound like, oh yeah, then go back and test it. People won't. They'll act on it. He's setting people up to get divine revelations from a spirit that are not, listen, if you want to hear God's voice, if you want divine revelations from God, read Psalms, read Isaiah, read Matthew, read Revelation, read Genesis. If you want to hear from God, if you want to know what God said, open up this Bible and start reading, because that's what God said. All right? And I trust that. But people don't. Remember, familiar spirits and going to them is a replacement religion. It says, I don't think the Word of God, the Bible, is enough. I want more. And so God lets them have more. All right? So that's Mark Verkler. Now, I was watching this the other day, making these notes, getting ready for this, and another video on YouTube popped up. It was Sid Roth from a guy by the name of Brian Simmons. I'd never heard of him before. And the title caught my eye, and I went, I want to know what this is, because it says Jesus and books in heaven. And I went, dun, 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 I've heard this before. So here's Brian Simmons on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, and here's what he's saying. Here's his little spiel on the show. Here's what he said. Jesus Christ came into my room. Stop. Remember, let's take out Testament and of from the Book of Mormon, and we have another Jesus Christ. It's not the same one as is in here. Where's Jesus? Where's the Bible say? Does the Bible say that Jesus comes in our room? No. He's at the right hand of God, and His Spirit dwells in our hearts. That we are that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. He is our defense attorney. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, because we are being accused night and day by the accuser of the brethren. And that's where Jesus is. The Bible doesn't say anything about Him coming in the room. Here's what He says. Jesus Christ came into my room. Here, and I'm just going, that's a familiar spirit. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But let's hear Him out. He breathed on me, and He commissioned me. He spoke to me and said, I'm commissioning you to translate the Bible. Stop right here. You know what? You know what the King James translators believed? They believed 2 Peter that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know what that word interpretation means? Translation. King James didn't just call up a guy and say, I want you to translate the Bible. I want you to do it right. There was 54 men working peer-reviewed fashion for 7 years working on that Bible to make sure that it was not privately and translated with one person's view over another. He even put Church of England guys in there and Puritan guys in there told them to get along. Make sure that this doesn't slant one way or the other. And God bless that. But here's Jesus now violating, remember, if they do not speak according to his word, it's because there's no light in it. And here's Jesus violating his own word. Violating it. I want you to translate the Bible. And he said, and he promised me he would give me secrets of the Hebrew language. That's Kabbalah, people. When he breathed on me, I felt downloads coming. Instantly, it was like I got a chip put inside of me. I got a connection put inside of me to understand the scriptures better. Here we go. Dun, dun, dun. Right? Did you know Jim Staley said the exact same thing? That he saw Jesus. Jesus came to him, showed him a picture of this house of God, the foundation all busted up and destroyed, which is contrary to what Paul said, the foundation of God standeth sure. And that Jesus instantly downloaded into his brain, like he had a chip in his brain, instantly downloaded in his brain this new revelation and understanding of the book of Romans and how everybody before him has gotten it all wrong. They're following the pagan Roman, Greco-Roman, paganized version. I'm going to restore it to the Hebrew roots version where we find out that we're saved only if we keep the law. That's what this guy's doing. Getting secrets of the Hebrew language. There is no secrets of the Hebrew language. Okay? And he said, it felt like it put a chip inside of me. I got a connection put inside of me to understand the scriptures better. That's a setup, people. Now, think, we're in an age right now, by the way, this doesn't sound all science fiction-y, does it? Because they're working on, right at this moment, the ability to make our brains connect with the World Wide Web so we can get instant downloads of whatever we want. Are you kidding me? This is set up. This is a familiar spirit, pure and simple. It wasn't Jesus, and it wasn't Samuel. It was looking like Samuel. Okay? Now here's where it really, so here's where it gets better. So he got this expanded, supernatural understanding of the scriptures. And he finds out that the King James Bible's all wrong in how it was translated. So Sid Roth is there. He's salivating all over himself. He's going, wow, I want to hear more of this. Yeah, hold on. We got to have the commercial and sell your stuff. Then he comes back and he says, I want to hear more of this. Tell us, give us some examples. So here's what he does. Brian Simmons, he puts up on the screen, he's talking about this. He said, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord, Ephesians 5:22. That's what the Bible says. He's got a supernatural version of it. Okay? He rewrote this. He made a private interpretation of scriptures. He said, it really is wives, be tenderly devoted to your husbands as the church is tenderly devoted to Christ. You know what? All the Jezebel women of these churches love that one because it means they don't have to submit to their husbands. Joyce Meyer. See how it works? If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. And this guy consulted a familiar spirit. Now, I'm not done yet with this guy. And I talked about this on Pastor Mike Online. Wait till you see what else this... Because remember, the title of the show is Jesus and Books in Heaven. Now, that rang a bell with me. And I've talked about this before, and I think Perry Stone knew I talked about it. Because there was an episode of Perry Stone where he and his father were talking about some old guy that his dad knew that died. Some elder or deacon in the church or something like that. And Perry Stone's talking to his dad on the show, and his dad said that he had a vision that he saw this guy and talked with him. Folks, he was dead. Now, Perry Stone's father is a consulter with familiar spirits. He's a necromancer. He went and listened to the dead instead of listening to someone that was alive, Jesus Christ. And this old elder or deacon told Perry Stone's dad that there was a huge library in heaven full of sermons and words and things that Jesus did that they couldn't fit into the Bible. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 3 to a setup that was put in place long before you and I ever came around. It occurred to me, and I'm examining, because Paul said, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So that we know the devil says, yea, hath God said. In other words, it doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands. Does it really say that? That's mean. So, yea, hath God said. Then he said, ye shall not surely die, a direct contradiction against God's word. For like this guy having a private interpretation, private translation of the word of God. Then he said, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. Now what the devil was introducing to Eve was something that he claims God was withholding from her and wasn't going to tell her. It was the idea that God had words, secret words, that he wasn't going to tell mankind. But the devil, being the, I'm for man, I'm for the working man, I'm going to show everybody things that God won't tell them, the evil God up there, sitting up there in heaven. Well, I'm down here with you, Eve, and I'm telling you, God's got a secret knowledge that if you eat that, I'll give it to you. I'll impart it to you. That's what those books are. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know of any place in the Bible, in the King James here, from Genesis to Revelation, that says anything about a library in heaven with all these books? No. And see, they quote this verse, I think it's from John, that you know, many more things did Jesus that I suppose if the books would be written, the earth itself could not contain them. John never said that there were other books written of things that Jesus said. That is a setup. Are you catching this? Because that's what Brian Simmons now, and Sid Roth, I mean, he can't wait till he comes out with this. You better get ready for this one, okay? So Brian Simmons says, now that I've completely destroyed the King James Bible and rewrote it all myself, okay, yea, as God said, contradicted it, then Jesus takes me, here's what he says, I was brought into this immense library room. Jesus told me I could take two books. So he starts talking about, he's looking at all these books, and he picks out two that Jesus said, you can take two of these and go back to the earth. Folks, are you catching that? And I'm going to read scripture here in a little bit. You know me. But I'm telling you, this guy, sitting there, and I'm just going, does not any of you people ever read your Bible? Do you not know when you're being set up and you're being lied to? Do you not have any discernment whatsoever? You're supposed to test the spirits, supposed to match it with the Word of God. And if it doesn't have the Word of God in it, and it's not the Word of God, and it contradicts the Word of God, you say, no, I'm not accepting that. So here he says that Jesus now, really wasn't, was it? Neither was that Samuel that Saul talked to. Here's Jesus telling him, you can take any two books you want. So he's got two books. He's walking around. He said, but I saw a third book. And he said, and I knew if I could take it with me, the third book, into the natural realm, it, the third book, would trigger an awakening in all the nations of the world. Jesus told me, you're not ready for that book. But I promise I will bring you back someday and I will give you that book. That is what he said Jesus told him. Now, I'm getting hot here, okay? And it's not the temperature. It is, I have a zeal, if you haven't noticed, for every word of God is pure. And if God says it, we're done. Remember what I started out with. But though we, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he says it again. As we said before, so say I now again. I'll say it in a minute. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I'm going to show you the book that Brian Simmons saw on the shelf. He's already got two. And he pulls out this third one. And he just knows that if he can bring this down to the world, that it's going to trigger an awakening. Have you heard that word before? The serpent climbing up the chakras to give everybody this awakening. It's going to trigger an awakening, and Jesus now is going to be famous all over the world. Everybody's going to follow Jesus. If I can bring this book down from heaven. And when I saw what it was, I went, okay, I'll go ahead and show you. You ready? Though we are an angel, bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. The book was called John 22. You know what that is? In your King James Bible, the Gospel of John has 21 chapters in it. And then it ends. It's the fourth gospel book. Supposedly, John 22 is a book that Jesus is going to bring Brian Simmons back up to heaven and have him bring that other gospel down to the earth. John 22 is another gospel given to shown to Brian Simmons by a familiar spirit. And people went, oh, praise God, praise Jesus, woo, woo. And Sid Roth sold I don't know how many books and videos off this thing. People, we're building the pyramid. The deception is everywhere. I got to read it again. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, Sid Roth. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, in case you're wondering, and I'll probably have this on my notes in here, but I'm just going to go to it just because. Revelation was the last book of the Bible written. John was already in exile in the Isle of Patmos. Now that's somewhere around 80, 90, 92, somewhere around in there. 96, some scholars say, but it's in the 90s, all right? I heard one guy on in his preaching, and I didn't catch it at first, but I realized he was setting everybody up. He said, and everybody thinks that, you know, Revelation was written in like in AD 94. He said, but that's not true. It was really written around AD 60. You say, okay, Pastor, so what? Well, that puts it then being written along at the same time as other of the New Testament writings, like the Apostle Paul, possibly Peter, but it puts it in that time frame. Why is that important? Because if Revelation was the last book written chronologically, then when we read Revelation 22, verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Jesus stamped his approval on that. Revelation being the last book written, Jesus himself said, if anybody adds to this, I'm going to add to him the plagues that are written in here. I'm going to throw him in the lake of fire. That's what I'm going to do. Now, if, as the guy said, if it was written around AD 60 somewhere, then obviously it doesn't mean that there can't be other books of the Bible written. It just means that it can't add to the book of Revelation.
See the setup? They're setting you up. They're setting people up all over this world. And what comes out of America? These people take it. They take it. I know they take it to Kenya. They take it to Africa. They take it to Europe. They take it to England. Take it, even the Canadians, some of them fall for it. Australia. They take this stuff around the world. And it's setting everybody up for the falling away to take place, which happens first before our gathering together unto Him. Now, I'm sitting up late at night, and the Holy Ghost is quoting for me Galatians, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel." And here, Brian Simmons telling everybody that Jesus is going to have me come up one of these days and get John chapter 22, which is an addition to the four gospel books, and bring it back down to everybody so there can be a great awakening. It fulfills Galatians chapter 1 to the letter. Just like Joseph Smith, just like we ain't talked about Ellen yet, but it fulfills the Word of God to the letter. And people have no discernment anymore. But I started thinking about something. This really is, I mean, it's something that God has put into my heart. Psalm 139:16, in thy book, David said, all my members were written, which in continuance of fashion, when as yet there was none of them. And I started years ago taking that verse and then examining the book of DNA that we have and just how close it matches. It's made of phosphorus, okay? The DNA strand's made of phosphorus. Well, that's light, okay? The entrance of thy words giveth light. This is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Sugar, thy words were sweeter than honey. They were sweet to the taste like sugar is. Okay, that's the two spines of DNA. One represents the Old Testament, one represents the New Testament. And Isaiah said, seek ye out the book of the Lord, no one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. So the two strands are mated together by four nucleotides, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. Just like the Old and New Testament are joined together perfectly by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're catching that. So that's how our DNA is. Our DNA gives testimony to the Word of God and the Bible. Not just this ethereal, oh, I feel the Word of God all around us stuff. No. The written, published, bound in leather or faux leather or paperback or whatever, bound book of the words of God containing the Old and the New Testament and four books about Jesus Christ, the man, coming to this earth, dying for our sins, rising from the dead, giving us salvation and eternal life. I don't want another gospel. I don't need another gospel. I trust the one that was given to us by the apostles and the prophets. And they're all saying the same thing. And those two, the prophets and the apostles, come together and they meet at Calvary in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You understand that, okay? I love that. And then here's what I realized. If the four nucleotides, the four bases, A, G, C, and T, adenine, cytosine, guanine, thymine, if those match, and they do, match and correlate to the four gospels, joining the things together, what if an angel brings another gospel to add to those four? You following me? Let me show you what it looks like on the screen here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John speak of one man, Jesus Christ. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine makes one man. It's you. Or a woman. Okay. Anyway, you came from man. You get it, right? See how it works? Now watch this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, one man, Jesus Christ. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine makes one man, you. Adding a fifth gospel, John 22, creates another Jesus. Adding a fifth nucleotide creates a different you. Not the same you. So I want you to think about this. And I'm gonna stop right here. I'm not even ready to get into Ellen. But I will. I've got it in the notes. I've got it ready. Just ran out of time. And I'm going to leave you with this. I mentioned the other day I watched every episode of The X-Files, okay, years ago. And The X-Files is all about finding the Holy Grail, okay? And that was mentioned several times throughout that series. And the Holy Grail that Mulder, Agent Mulder, was looking for, think of the X-Files. It's a chromosome. The Holy Grail that Mulder was looking for was proof of alien visitation on this planet. And he found it. And the thing is that he had something in his blood. They actually, in an episode of the X-Files, they actually laid Mulder on a table shaped like a cross, and they were pulling his blood out of him, and the cigarette-smoking man, who's like the mean conspirator, were saying, "Your blood's going to save mankind." And I'm just going, da-da-da! Well, Mulder and Scully have a baby named William, and you never hear much about it. Of course, it went off the air. Now it came on for 6 episodes, and I thought, well, they're just going to finish some stuff off and be done. Oh, no, 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 there's more coming. Let me make a long story short. You can view this online. You can go to, I don't know, Hulu has it, I think, but other places. Fox, you can watch it on Fox website. But Dana Scully examines her own DNA, and she finds out that she has alien DNA mixed in with her DNA. Now remember, in Daniel chapter 2, the fourth kingdom mingles themselves with the seed of men, DNA. Dana Scully in The X-Files is the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2. She has them mingled in her DNA. And I won't get into all of it, but everybody on the earth is dying of diseases that we at one time received vaccinations against. Measles, mumps, rubella, chicken pox, smallpox, polio, things like that. Now all of a sudden everybody on the earth is dying of these diseases. And Scully says in that last episode, the alien DNA is the only, if they don't have alien DNA in their blood, this virus that's killing everybody will kill them. Dun, dun, dun. That is an angel, because that's what the aliens are. They are evil angels bringing another gospel. What is the gospel? It saves mankind. That is another angel bringing another gospel to save mankind. Now, you say, Hoggard, you watch too much television. Probably right. But here's what I know. I know for a fact that an angel is going to come down from heaven and bring another gospel to this world that will involve DNA manipulation, DNA adding to, just like this. The practice runs have been going on for years. The real thing is just around the corner. I don't know when, but it's coming. And so here's Sid Roth promoting it. Oh, we can't wait for him to go back to heaven and bring us John chapter 22. You fall for that, Sid, that's your doom. You're cursed. This is familiar spirits. They are all around us. There are people consulting with familiar spirits that are standing in pulpits, that are running Christian TV shows, Christian TV networks, Christian radio stations, Christian radio programs, and YouTube videos, and blogs, and Facebook posts. You need to decide whose side you're going to be on. You're going to be on their side? And think, well, you know, I believe in Sabbath keeping. You know, I'm Seventh-day Adventist. Really? Then you're following after one who consulted with a familiar spirit, because that's where she got it from, and I'll show it to you next week. All right? You need to decide whose side you're going to be on. Are you going to believe what everybody else is believing simply because, well, nobody else believes that way. I don't believe the King James. None of the other. My pastor doesn't. Are you going to fall for that? Or are you going to get along with God one day and say, God, show me where your infallible, inerrant word is. Because that's my salvation. And I don't want to fall for another gospel. Whose side are you going to be on? Okay? I want to be like Josiah. Whatever Manasseh set up, I want to go right behind him and undo it. Okay? That's what I want. I am a zealot for every word in this book. And I'll stand for it and I'll defend it. And I won't believe anything else. I don't care what comes down. I won't believe anything else. Neither should you. All right? Getting some interesting stuff here. There's a lot more to it. I haven't put it all together yet, so you pray for me. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favored, nor shoe, which means show. Dogs have a form of a language. It's probably very, very brutish, very limited, very rudimentary. I have a speech you can't understand either. Here we have an organization that is devoted to the occult writings of Alice Baby Bilal. So think about this. Here we have an occult organization formerly known as Lucifer.